Hello and Happy New Year from all of us at DizFanatic.com. This is Mike Damari, and this is episode number 13 of the DizFanatic podcast. Today we're going to have some fun. We got some good friends together, and we talked a bit about what's happened over the past year in 2010 with the Disney company, everything from parks and resorts to movies and merchandise and the brand new Disney stores. We had a lot of fun talking about all these things, and we also took a look ahead at what's upcoming in 2011. So a lot of exciting stuff going on. Before we get into that, there's a couple of quick news items that just came up that I'd like to mention. First, on January 4th, in the wee hours of the morning, something very exciting happened in Port Canaveral, Florida, and that was the arrival of the brand new Disney cruise ship, the Disney Dream. And she arrived as the sun was rising with fireworks and a lot of excited fans watching her sail in. So it's really exciting because she's just a couple of weeks away from her maiden voyage. So we're looking forward to it, and it's a beautiful ship, and we can't wait to step aboard. Something that was very exciting for Disney as a company and for all of us fans who got to enjoy all of this, but Disney took the top two slots in box office sales in 2010. Number one, of course, was Toy Story 3, which earned a $1.5 billion in gross sales, and Disney and Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland, the live-action film, earned $1.2 billion in box office sales this year, or 2010. So that's really exciting news for Disney Studios, and we hope they have a great year coming ahead. Another thing that Disney just recently announced was that with the boom in the in Blu-ray sales, and now the new, I guess, generation of 3D, they will be releasing approximately 15 films in the 3D Blu-ray format this year. So we have a partial list over on the website, so you could check it out over in the news section. But of course, we'll be seeing things like Tron Legacy and Meet the Robinsons, and something that really excited me was Nightmare Before Christmas, that there'll be a 3D version coming with that. Only problem is I don't have a 3D TV, so hint, hint, my birthday is coming up real soon. anyway, we have been seeing some of their films coming out on the 3D Blu-ray format, which they have this kind of mega pack of discs, which comes with four discs, the 3D Blu-ray, the standard Blu-ray, the DVD, and another disc that has a digital copy, which you could download onto your laptop or your portable player, iPod, or whatever. So, of course, we'll be getting everything 3D in hopes that some generous person out there thinks of us. Anyway, something else that was kind of interesting was a few weeks back, Disney filed for a patent for interactive cakes, and I read through the whole patent. It's a lot of pages and a lot of diagrams and examples, and it looks kind of interesting. So it's going to be interesting to see where they're going with this. So in a couple of days, we'll be posting a new DizTech column outlining and describing what these interactive cakes actually are. So again, my birthday is coming up, so how about a nice 3D TV and a Disney interactive cake? anyway, with all that said, we have a lot to talk about, and I want to get right into that. So I want to thank you guys, of course, for tuning in, and thank you for making 2010 a great year for DizFanatic.com, and all the great feedback that you've been giving us, primarily from the podcast and also the submissions and everything and everybody just joining together in this great Disney community and sharing this crazy love that we all have. Of course, I'd like to give a very big thanks to our sponsors, WDWTravels.com, who are a full-service travel company and Disney-authorized vacation planners. And all of their agents specialize in Disneyland, Disney World, Adventures by Disney, and the Disney Cruise Line. So if you're planning an upcoming trip, call one of their really cool travel agents, and they'll be happy to help you out. And all of their services are absolutely free, so just head on over to WDWTravels.com.
WDW Travels, turning dreams into vacations. At WDW Travels, we specialize in Disney vacations. And as always, our services are free. Let WDW Travels take the stress out of vacation planning. We offer advanced dining reservations, discount monitoring, and a WDW Travels care package just for you. Visit WDWTravels.com today to start booking your magical vacation.
Well, it's that time of year again, the beginning of a brand new year. And what better thing to do in the beginning of the year than to sit down with a bunch of really good friends and talk about a really good subject, the thing that we all love to talk about all the time. Of course, talk about Disney stuff. So what we're going to do today is we're going to kind of do a year in review and talk about all the exciting things that have happened or maybe have been announced or maybe a little couple of little rumors that have been bouncing around in the world of Disney, in the parks and resorts and things happening in products and stores and as well as on the big screen. So today, who we have here is, of course, I have my wonderful Miss Disney Anna sitting right next to me.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I have on the other side of the virtual world here, I have Angie Kennard from WDW Travels.
Happy New Year to you guys.
Happy New Year. And, of course, I have our favorite author, our friend Mr. Brent Dodge, author of From Screen to Theme and host of The Wednesday Show. Happy New Year, Brent.
I miss 2010.
Yes.
A good book was released in 2010, not in 2011.
Yeah, well, that was an exciting year for you. And hopefully, you know, hopefully 2011 is as exciting or even more exciting.
2011 is going to be a great year. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Well, there's been so many things that have happened. And I know going 2 years back to 2009, the D23 Expo was like a big explosion of announcements and all kinds of exciting stuff. So there wasn't that big D23 Expo this year, but there were a lot of announcements and things that have happened and acquisitions in the Disney Corporation, all kinds of stuff that have happened through the year, and some interesting rumors and all kinds of stuff. And we're going to kind of do this like a round table type of thing, and maybe like each of us will take a topic and we'll chit chat about it and see where it goes from there. And I'll kind of start to, you know, start things off, being that I'm going to hog up the mic over here. And if I go,
Mike.
Yes, because I'm Mike. And if I go on and on, you could give me a virtual kick through the web here and get me to stop, because sometimes I do ramble on a bit. So, but anyway, I'm going to take the topic of the theme parks, and because that is, well, I'm sure it's everybody's happy place, but you know, I think about it all the time. I think about it at work. I think about it while I'm sleeping and while I'm driving and veering off into the wrong lane and stuff. But this year there was a couple of cool things that happened. And one of the things that I was like really, really excited about, because I was watching the construction, and you know me, I'm also like the construction geek. I like to watch things being built and you know, watching the World of Color being built online through, you know, so many, you know, fellow Disney websites posting all kinds of cool photos and Disney showing some like time-lapse photos of the construction. It was really an exciting build-up to something that seemed like it was going to be incredible. And guess what? It is really incredible. It's, I mean, this is just like an amazing show that opened in Disney's California Adventure. And again, a big build-up, a long construction period. I mean, they emptied out that whole lake and build this platform that moves up and down and the size of a football field, and there's, you know, thousands of water jets and lasers and LED lighting and fire effects and the largest water screen in the world. And I mean, just an amazing show. And there was a big opening, and I liked also that Disney kind of took their opening online, that they did a live opening. Like, we weren't able to be there, as much as that was very painful not to be there for the opening night, when they had the big opening press event. They did stream it live over the internet, and we were sitting on our bed with the laptop watching it. So exciting. What do you guys think about that? I mean, is this something that I'm just a big tech geeky guy that it excites me, but maybe not you guys? Or
I think it's amazing. Just we had one of our agents in Disney World that actually got to go to like a soft premiere the night before, and she had lost of words at how amazingly and how pretty and just all the different things that went into, you know, making it happen. You know, and it's every detail is, you know, Disney styled. So it's, I think it's an amazing and it's beneficial for Disneyland.
Usually I'm the big, you know, if you're at a Disney park, you end it at, you know, watching the fireworks for the Magic Kingdom or Disneyland. And when I was out there, I did not watch the fireworks once over at Disneyland. Every single day I was over watching World of Color because that was the big thing. And the first time I saw it, it just blows your mind. And every single time you see it after that, it's just it's a different story depending on where you sit at too. I mean, there's different things that you notice from one seating section each seating section gives you a completely different view of it. Wow. Which tells a completely different, it's just so cool. Just an amazing new addition to the Disney parks.
Yeah, and I like the fact that they have this, you know, the way it's put together with the technology that they'll be able to, you know, make changes from time to time. You know, hopefully we'll see like little maybe holiday tags or whatever. I know they did do a Tron tag that they added onto it for Tron Legacy. So maybe we'll see other things kind of added and changed, you know, throughout the years. But it's really exciting. But talking about like changing up things, another favorite attraction, which opened a year earlier, but something that they did do this year was Toy Story Mania, both in Florida and in California. They did make some changes to celebrate Toy Story 3 by adding some Toy Story 3 characters to it. So I thought that was cool that they have like this awesome ride, and it's like everybody I talk to, you know, really loves it. So I thought that was cool that they
you know,
did
what would
that
be really cool if you could buy the ride vehicle.
Yeah, we're working on that.
We're working on that. I want the ride vehicle to put in front of our Wii.
That was almost my Christmas costume this year. I almost made a life-size ride vehicle to walk around the parks in. That would
be cool. Although I did love your Fast Pass. I thought that was totally ingenious.
That was a pretty big hit.
Did you actually work? Did you get to go on some Fast Pass lines because of that?
Yeah, we skipped about an 80-minute wait for Space Mountain with that Fast Pass.
Oh, that's all right, cool. Way to go!
I'm coming with you next Halloween. And
we will be down there.
Yeah, we'll be down there for Halloween. So
we have it all planned.
Dust off that Fast Pass costume. But you know, another thing, talking about change and stuff, is something that went away this year was Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, and that's been around for quite a while. And what they did, which was actually kind of a controversial thing, and I remember when they announced it online, it was like this big like explosion on all the message boards of, you know, all the haters and the lovers and the I don't carers and whatever. But when they announced that they were bringing Captain EO back, I mean, first they announced they were going to bring it back in California for a limited time as a tribute to Michael Jackson, and a lot of people got really excited about that. And like I said, a lot of people kind of bent them the wrong way, I think. I don't know. I think it was a great 3D movie, and for its time, it was definitely groundbreaking. I mean, they had the people at the top of their industry. You know, we had heard rumors that it was going to go into the other parks and whatever, and then they finally did announce that it would go back to the original parks that it did play at. So it slowly returned. I guess in June and July, it came to Tokyo, Disneyland, Disneyland Paris, and finally it came back to Epcot in July. And it was so exciting for me to see again because, you know, again, it's like one of these things, there's nostalgia involved
and funky haircuts.
And funky 80s Flock of Seagulls haircuts, yeah. And I mean, as a to age myself, Brent, I know you were probably in diapers at the time, but
I actually do remember watching it originally.
I'm not gonna ask how old you were then, but we did
too. Come on.
But you know, I mean, that was my teenage years. Was, you know, Michael Jackson, I wasn't a big Michael Jackson fan. Like, to see the hairstyles and the costumes and the dance and everything, it just took me back then. And I think it's really cool. And you know, knowing that they just brought it back for a limited time, and then there's also that little excitement in me that knows at some point Captain EO is going away again. And that means something has to go back in its place. And I'm sure they're not going to just bring Honey, I Shrunk the Audience back. My guess is they'll bring something new and exciting back to it. And that's my prediction, and I think a lot of people kind of feeling the same. What do you guys think about that? I mean, do you see Captain EO staying for a really long time, or do you see it, you know, maybe a year or two, and then they bring in something new and exciting? Or
I think it's going to stay in Epcot for not as long as Disneyland. When I go to see it in Epcot, the crowd is never that busy. I mean, it's still, you know, there's still enough interest that people are going to see it. But I don't know if it's because Michael Jackson was, you know, in California, and that's why it's so huge over there. But every time I see it in California, I have not seen it when it has not been at least 80% full. While here in Florida, it's usually about, you know, 25% full.
You know, another thing that that happened, and actually I didn't put it on my list here, but just thinking of that kind of thing was they had made an announcement that they were going to get rid of the Aladdin stage show in California Adventure. And that was like a big, I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God, why would they get rid of it? And I always tell people that is probably the most incredible stage show that I've ever seen in a Disney park. And I was really, really surprised that, you know, it seemed like whenever we were in there, it was very crowded. And anybody that I've talked to and anything that I've read from other people discussing it was, everybody loved this show. So I was surprised to see that they would be taking out such a popular show and switching it out with something else. I guess they got enough feedback from so many people that they decided to keep it, and that made me really happy. Again, chime in on this. Am I just a big goofball with this stuff? Is it really not as good as a show as I'm making it out
to
be?
No, that with the show was worth the price of admission. If you just paid the price of admission and saw that show, it was worth it.
It is an unbelievable show. That is probably one of the best shows that they have on Disney property.
Moving on to other things. Wow, there really was quite a few things that went on. Animal Kingdom, which is, I don't know, I guess that's Anna's second favorite park.
Magic Kingdom, you know.
But some nice little heartwarming things is they did get a new giraffe this year. One-year-old giraffe that came from the Virginia Zoo. That giraffe, she was born in October of 2009. So there is a new giraffe. And another thing that's like really exciting is that they have a new elephant, which was actually born in Disney's Animal Kingdom Park. And that's the fifth elephant that was born in Animal Kingdom since it opened. Back to California, something that was kind of weird and kind of came out of nowhere. Was they changed slightly the name of the park. It's just they changed it to Disney California Adventure Park instead of Disney's. So they took the apostrophe S out, but they changed the logo. And that kind of came out of nowhere. And I guess that kind of went with, you know, the whole retheming of the park. And what do you guys think? Old logo or new logo?
I'm really indifferent on both. I like both logos, so.
You have to say the same thing. It's like you like it, but you want it to be the same. It's a mix-up.
I'll say old logo. Like the old logo.
Yeah, me too. I like when they have a like an icon in there with the logo, and maybe they'll change it up a little bit after the park evolves, or you know,
or maybe not.
That's because you know, right? Because but every Disney park like has like some kind of an icon, like the you know, as Walt Disney called it, the weenie, and that weenie usually makes it into the logo of the park. And when you think of seeing, you know, like Magic Kingdom with the little like kind of outline of the castle in the back or whatever. So it'll be interesting to see. But I think the new logo is cute, but I like the old logo.
You like that's better.
Yeah, I kind of like that one better. But, you know, talking about changes, they also changed the name of Cinderella's Golden Carousel
over
Magic Kingdom.
It will always be La 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 Carousel. Always.
But you know, that was kind of interesting. There's been so much changes going on over at Fantasyland. If I'm going to steal your stage here, Diz.
Yeah, no, good. I don't want to be the only one talking here.
But, the you know, when they changed that to kind of fit in with the whole storyline of what's going to be happening, you know, in the coming years with the Fantasyland expansion. It's interesting because that was kind of the first big change, even though it was a small change, but it was the first big change to kind of show what's going to be happening in the near future with, you know, Ariel joining the scene and the Be Our Guest restaurant. And there's a whole brand new theme that's going on over there. And it started with that one simple name change of Cinderella's Golden Carousel to Prince Charming's Regal Carousel. Right. And people were up in arms. I know so many people who are so upset. I was upset by it. I'll admit, I'm pretty upset that they changed it. But it goes with the whole theming. And when you go through Fantasyland now, it's slowly becoming a different Fantasyland. It's kind of like back in, I'm way too young to actually remember it, but you know, back in '84, Disneyland did a complete refurb of their Fantasyland, making a new Fantasyland look and feel. And slowly, each day you go through Fantasyland, it is just a little bit different than the day before, with the exteriors of the building. I mean, the attractions are still the same, but the exteriors are slowly becoming a brand new theme, a brand new story's taking place to join everything.
Now we're seeing it start to take place. I mean, you know, the major construction that's going on. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, building one new attraction or retheming one thing. I mean, I guess starting to see some of the little finishing touches on the outside of the expansion area is, we were talking about this earlier, was the Winnie the Pooh attraction has a new queue, which is, I guess, almost complete. And I know you've been there, you're probably there on a daily basis, Brent, but could you tell us a little bit about what that looks like? Yeah, I'm so jealous, though. Yeah. But could you, you know, bring me there and tell me a bit about what's going on with the queue for the Winnie the Pooh.
That kind of goes back with the whole idea of all these changes. Back in April, the Pooh's Playful spot, the little playground area that's across from Winnie the Pooh, closed down. And I was pretty upset when they closed that down. I knew it had to go because of the expansion, but you know, there's a lot of little hidden secrets that were found in that area. And, you know, it's always sad to see something like that go with so much detail that most people just kind of walk past every day. And then all of a sudden, you know, 2 days later, after they put the wall up, the tree, Mr. Sanders' tree, was no longer over on that side, but it was in front of the Winnie the Pooh attraction. And they never really told anyone that this is going to be this huge interactive area, but it's going to be, you know, it's just, they're moving the tree. It's going to be at the front entrance of the line. That's all the cast members would tell me. But now it's, you know what? It makes Pooh's Playful Spot look like, you know, not a playful area at all. It just makes Pooh's Playful Spot look like the most boring place ever in Disney World. Because you go through now, right now they're still working on the Tigger thing where you're bouncing on the Tigger things and you get pretty good air from the videos I've seen of the Imagineers doing it. But they have, like, what's that?
That sounds like fun.
It does sound like fun. It sounds like some lawsuits in order, but
yeah,
fun. But they've got, like, you know, little fruits and vegetables that are plastic, but you push them down and they make instrumental noises, and you realize it's actually a drum set. And
they're gone.
Like, you jump on these little paw prints and little gophers pop up and they like kind of screech at you and stuff. And what's the other big? Oh, the other big one is you walk through and there's this wall of honey. This is like the coolest part of the attraction or the line. And the wall of honey, you can actually put your finger on it and like spell out your name.
Really?
It kind of goes into the honey and slowly the honey like covers it up. Like the honey's dripping down the wall.
Oh.
So it looks like you're looking at this giant wall of honey, and it slowly changes and stuff. And you can write on it, you can draw pictures. It's really cool.
Oh, that's cool. Unique.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing all these interactive lines now, which I think is a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious, because right now they're actually working on one for the Haunted Mansion as well. Which is sad, because right now they actually have no tombstones. That's where the interactive part's going to be.
Right, they pulled all that.
That's been down since, like, August.
Yeah.
Oh, so we got to see it in July, I guess, for the last time.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we'll see. My guess is those tombstones have to stick around because those are just classic.
They are. And the older you get, you know, I don't know if the kids realize it, but, you know, you get half the stuff when you're older. I hope they bring it back.
Right. You see it in one way as a child, but as an adult, you get a different meaning. Or,
yeah.
And there's been some new, couple of new restaurants over in Epcot. And, of course, there was the first one was the Via Napoli Pizzeria. And I heard they're actually serving pizza by the slice over the holidays, I guess, to make up some of the quick serve overflow or whatever. But have you been there, Brent?
Yeah, it's the best pizza on property.
Really?
Hands down. Oh, yeah. They're doing the whole pizza by the slice for the quick service thing. And also, they're kind of testing it out. Something that I kind of predicted back at the start is you know, just kind of have it so people can actually just go up and do a pizza by the slice. Because when you look at all the different World Showcase restaurants, the majority of the pavilions have a quick service place where you can just kind of grab a sample of the food. But Italy's never had that. I think it makes sense. They're going to see how well people respond to being able to just go up and grab a slice of pizza. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think that's good because if you want to sample different things, I mean, I think right now we go through phases, I guess, like everybody. But right now our favorite quick serve is probably the Tangerine Cafe over in Morocco.
Yeah.
Just amazing. But
sorry, England.
Yeah. For a while, like fish and chips, it was like we could not get enough of the fish and chips. Now, how about
Hacienda?
Yes. How about that? Have either of you guys eaten there?
I've eaten at the quick service side. I've not eaten at the sit down area yet.
Yeah. Faith, when Food and Wine was going on, we ate at the quick service location as well. But we've had many clients that have ate there, and, you know, they've been extremely happy with it. And, you know, the downfall is, you know, they kind of had advertised of, you know, that they could have, you know, views of illuminations. That didn't, that doesn't really span out as much as it should be. It's really the quick service location that you can view the illuminations. But we've had really good reviews on both.
Just kind of staying on the food topic, there was some new things that opened and are opening, I guess, down in Downtown Disney as well. But what does excite me is the announcement that they recently made, I guess maybe about 2 months ago, was the whole change of Pleasure Island to the new Hyperion Wharf. Now, you know, that again is a very loaded topic because I'm very sad to see Pleasure Island go away. And I guess, you know, we've known that that was, I mean, it had been going away for a while. And, you know, the clubs have been closed for a while. And so I guess everybody knew that it wouldn't be recreated in its original form. So it was really nice while it lasted. But at least it seems like the new plans that they have look like it'll be a fun place, you know, to spend the day as, I guess, an expansion of the rest of Downtown Disney and not so much a nighttime adult place to be. But I guess they're saying that the Hyperion Wharf side, which is already under construction, is scheduled to be complete in 2013. And I guess the whole theming, what they're saying, and you know, we've seen a lot of the concept art, is that it's going to be based on a 20th century, like a port city amusement district. So there'll be like dining and shopping. So, you know, an expansion of what's already around there, but I guess in a more themed way. And then they say at night it's going to come to life with, you know, a lot of lights and everything. So I hope it kind of falls into a fun place where it's not, you know, we like shopping, we like dining. But I'm hoping that it's somewhere where when you're walking around with kids that they're going to be excited about the place too, because sometimes that's a bit of a challenge when, you know, as adults with children, when you want to go and do a little shopping, and we try to balance it off by, we'll go into a shop that maybe like we'll look at like kitchen stuff or home for, you know, home goods, and the kids really don't want to see that stuff. So then we'll balance it off by right after that, maybe going into the World of Disney or, you know, Once Upon a Toy or something like that and hop back and forth. But outside, there really isn't much for the kids to get excited about until you walk through the Lego area, which, of course, for my kids, yeah, I could leave them there for hours and come back and they would never know I was gone. But that they were actually really excited to hear that they're getting a 3,500 square foot addition onto the Lego Imagination Center. So that I think is good because, you know, again, there's somewhere for kids to kind of hang out and play. And the other thing that they did announce, which I thought was cool, the AMC Theater will be turning into a fork and screen. And again, I had to be have to be careful how I say that. A fork and screen theater where you have sit down and have dinner as you're watching the movie. And, you know, not buying snacks up at the snack bar and going back to your seat, but you actually get table service meal. And from what I read, this will be actually be the first one in Florida. We actually have one near us, but I've never been there.
We have one by us back in Wisconsin, but...
How does that work out?
It flopped.
Yeah.
I'm kind of worried that this one's going to flop as well, but... You know, you got all the tourists, so who knows? Maybe people, you know, want
to
use
it. Exactly, because you have a kind of an influx of new people all the time. It's nice to see things taking shape down there and growing. Now, all the way across over in Europe. Now, I had heard very early this year that they were going to do some kind of expansion, that there was going to be a major announcement for Disneyland Paris. Turns out it wasn't actually Disneyland Paris itself, but something that's... I don't know my metric conversions, but 6 kilometers south of Disneyland Paris, their building, which Anna, with her French, I'm going to let her say it the proper way. Do you pronounce the S? Les Villages Nature. That's my Brooklyn version.
That sounds good to me.
But, you know, basically it's going to be a resort and not a big major theme park, but they are going to have a large water park, both indoor and outdoor. Highly themed, and everything's going to be based around sustainable technology. So it's a very large plot of land. The first phase, they're saying, is going to be open in 2015. So that'll be interesting to see, because it's kind of the first of its kind, a very different concept.
The other big one that I kind of was thinking about is over at Animal Kingdom. Back in July, they tried something else that was brand new called the Harambe Village Taste of Africa.
Right, right.
The street party over there, which I thought was a great idea, but the thing was they didn't advertise it really at all. The way I heard about it was actually by going to Animal Kingdom, and I ate at Pizzafari, and they actually threw a little pamphlet on every single menu, letting people know that, hey, this thing's going to go on. It was at like 4 o'clock or 4:30 at night, but that was really cool. I mean, kind of having the whole food and wine festival type thing just in one section of Animal Kingdom, I think if they continue doing that and they promote it the right way, I think that could be a huge hit in the future.
And again, bringing food into it, you know,
I'll be there. Part of a culture. I mean, here you are at Animal Kingdom. You're immersed in the, you know, Africa. You hear the drummers. You see the sight. You know, you want to, it's all part of it, you know? It makes it all complete.
Right, absolutely. And we have another one of our favorite restaurants right there in Africa, in Animal Kingdom.
Which one?
I also like those ribs down at Flame Tree.
But Tusker House. And
anyway, there's probably things that, there's so many things that go on, both little and big, but I think I've kind of beat this thing up a bit. Angie, I'm going to move on to you because you've been kind of quiet sitting back there. So,
I'm multitasking.
you're booking my next trip.
Exactly. See, I'm multitasking. Okay. You're seeing the Grand Floridian, just so you know.
Okay. Oh, awesome!
And then after week two, where do I go after week two?
Cruise? Is that what you said?
Yep, on the Disney Dream.
Yay! Okay.
So I'll let you talk about, you know.
I'm going to go ahead and start with some of, you know, the cruise, because just around the corner we have the Disney Dream will be coming into her home away from home at Port Canaveral. She'll be coming in. She's in the Atlantic Ocean right now, and she should be making her grand arrival on January 4th.
Yay!
So that's like a big, huge, amazing thing. They're still finishing up things on board to get it ready. There's a couple... you know, sailings here and there to test out with like cast members and stuff like that that go out. And then we are actually on, there's a christening cruise on the 19th to the 21st. And we are actually honored and invited to be on that. So we're really excited about that because that's when they'll do the grandfathering and, you know, that we'll have a big event. They actually will have a big event and it's only by invitation to be on that cruise. So it's really exciting.
That's so exciting.
You know, everything that's going on and all the different amazing things. We have seen so many pictures and you know, blogs and different things, you know, even like, you know, there's a photographer that's on there, on board what's coming across, and he's been taking pictures. Like one of the pictures he took was, he arranged a little snowman.
Yes, I saw that.
you could see, you know, right in the background, you could see, you know, the Disney cruise behind it. So it was really kind of, it was very, very cute, to put on there, but that's like a really exciting thing. And then also, that's really its first, inaugural set sail, you know, with public and everything is, you know, January 26th, that it will have on there. So that's actually, you know, a really exciting
Mike,
one.
Like my birthday present.
See, there you go. So, you know, and you get some, you know, there's really good stateroom credits, you know, for a couple cruises even after that. And then, it's funny because on the 29th, we will have six agents that will be on for a training that will actually be on it. So I will actually get to cruise on the Dream twice in 1 month. I'm really flattered.
Wow. We're jealous.
Now I'm beyond green. I was green before with Brent. Now with the two of you, you're killing
well,
me.
Well, it's just going to throw up now.
But we do have six agents, so that'll be really good because we can, you know, test it out. But we have just been, you know, Castaway's made a lot of improvements. And added a lot of different things just for the expansion of coming the dream coming to, you know, there, of course, because then the Wonder will go on to the West Coast and do like Mexican Riviera cruises over there from the Los Angeles port. So then the Magic and the Dream will stay there. And then when the Fantasy comes, which is right around, they just actually made new dates for the Fantasy of March 31st will be the actually first cruise of 2012. And then that will start out doing the Western Caribbean itineraries as well. So the kids clubs and labs and the nursery, the amazing touches that, you know, the Imagineers put on all of those is just really just in this technology of, you know, the 20th century. It's amazing. I mean, it's going to be really big, and not to include, but, you know, the aqueduct, you know, that's a huge thing. You know, it was kind of comical the other day. We're talking with the kids, and I said, "Yeah, that as much as I love it, I probably will not be getting on the aqueduct with my kids." And my son's like, "I don't care how cold it is, we're going on it. We're going on it a bunch of times." You know, he's like, "I don't care how cold it is," and you know, it's in January, so we know what the weather is right now down there. So you've got Goofy's, you know, mini putt up at the top, one of the top decks. You've got Remy's and Palos, and which Palos are on both the other cruise ships. So it's nothing new to come into this one. The scenery and everything is different, but then you've got Remy's, who is a new exclusive, same as Palos. It's a, you know, you have to make reservations for that one, that you have on there. So it's an amazing, you know, I mean, just that one, like, you know, Palos is normally $15 a night per person, to go to it. Remy's is $75 a night. So it's even more, you know, and let me tell you, Palos is absolutely wonderful. Like, you know, one of the first cruises we did, Cody was in the nursery. He didn't behave well. I had to go get him because they kept telling me that he was telling them that I had to come pick him up when he could talk. So it was funny because I'm like, oh my gosh, did you realize that Cody could talk? I went ahead and I picked up Cody, and then so I couldn't return to Palos. And so my husband, you know, had told the waiter, you know, that I was, you know, I had to go get our youngest, and I was in the room. So I had ordered room service in the meantime because I hadn't got to eat. So I ordered room service. And just as my room service came, here comes our server from Palo. He had brought my meal down. We were only one deck down, but he had brought my meal down, you know, brought me an extra dessert. And then also I had a chocolate martini. And so he had brought me down a new martini and poured me a brand new martini. And I said, oh, I'm so thankful, you know? And I said, I appreciate this so much. And he said, no, he says, and he saw my room service. He goes, you not have room service. He says, you eat this. And I'm like, and he went and he took my room service and took it away. It just kind of gives you the level of, you know, service that is just amazing on the Disney cruise ships. I mean, it is the best cruise line out there, you know, to book, you know, to be on. I mean, you can have your family, you can have adult time. There's so many fun things to do. Castaway is like my home away from home is where I would love to love live. Mm-hmm. They have everything possible there. You know, they have the new kids center there. They have Scuttles. They have the Serenity Bay Family Beach. They have a teen beach. I mean, they have, there's so many amazing things there. and it's so beautiful. I mean, they have, you could even do a little, like a little run in the morning. There's bikes to ride. You can do snorkeling. You can play with stingrays, you know, feed the stingrays. There's so many different things you can do, you know, just at Castaway that you could be, you know, it literally one day is not enough. So those 5-night cruises, if you're thinking about it, yeah, because it's two stops there.
Yeah, they have the two stops. Yeah.
I told Michael when we were there, I said, if heaven does not look like this, I'm going to be so disappointed.
It is. It's like really spoiling. Like you leave there and you're like, I just want to go back to Castaway. And
definitely.
You know, we just need internet service and we'll be good. You know, we can stay in one of the cabanas they have, you know, because they have all the cabanas are open and ready to go now. You know, so we can stay in one of the cabanas and we'll be all set. And, you know, but there's, you know, like I know one of the things that Brent likes to do is Hidden Mickeys. So they have been really, really putting a lot of the Hidden Mickeys out on Castaway, you know, with all the new things that they have been adding and stuff like that. So, and it, of course, you know, there's Hidden Mickeys on the cruise as well. But they've been putting a lot of the different touches and stuff like that. Like we were finding a lot of them when we were just there a couple weeks ago. We were finding a lot of them, you know, on Castaway. It was really kind of fun. The kids are really starting to get into it.
Okay, one of the things that I wanted to bring up before and kind of forgot was that this year also Disney Cruise Line was rated number one in the annual Reader's Choice Awards for Condé Nast Traveler's Magazine. So, I mean, that kind of tells the story there. It's not just us crazy Disney fans that'll, you know, rant and rave over this the cruise line, but it's that extra bit of service that they give you, and I guess everybody expects that from Disney. Have there been any other exciting things going on in the Disney resort hotel world?
You know, I would say the Alani, you know, that's coming out, should be open. Soft date right now is a DVC, which I know that you're a DVC member. Mm-hmm. It's a DVC type resort, but anybody can book it, and it's in Hawaii. And that date coming out is to be open will actually be August 28th of 2011. But it's been something really exciting, and there's so many the story behind it and the meaning behind it. They're really Disney, of course. You know, telling the storyline there. Is really going into, you know, with the Imagineers are really going into hand in hand with, you know, Hawaiians to get the feel of this resort and every aspect of it, you know, to put every last detail on there. And there's, you know, there's so many different, you know, it's on 21 acres. It's got 359 hotel rooms, including 16 suites, 4 restaurants, 2 lounges, 10 recreational facilities. They've got a huge 18,000 square feet spa. Love it, Anna.
Yeah, I'm so there. I have my 20th anniversary coming up soon.
There we go. It's got 4 whirlpool spas. It has a conference center. It has outdoor venues, a storytelling fire pit, we know, with Aunt Roz. There's kids clubs that are even there, restaurant shoppings. You can do weddings there. There's so many different things, you know, you can do there as far as pool parties, nice. Lawn parties. There's so many different things. And it's so, so beautiful.
Yeah, the nice lazy river and everything they have. But the location is just gorgeous. Like when you see the pictures of where this is and the setting and the beach and everything, it's just amazing. I mean, they got such a location.
That's a really big thing, you know, that Disney's popping out. You know, then you of course have the new resort that used to be, was going to be opening up, like back, I think it was 2001, right when 9/11 happened. They were going to do adding on more to Pop Century. So that one, you know, is going to be opening. It's the Art of Animation Resort. You know, so they've unveiled that. That was about May that they, you know, come out with that. And it should be open by the end of 2012, but they are working on it now. Kind of hard to get pictures, from my understanding, get out there. Do what?
I've tried. It's impossible.
Yeah. It's hard.
Top secret.
It's really kind of hidden. There's a lot of things that are still hidden. I mean, that's why, because when they were shells, I mean, it was hard to get, you know, pictures other than just walking over there. And now they have it all fenced off, so... you know, but they're going to have, you know, larger than life. It's kind of going to be like, you know, some of the other value resorts that there's there. But they're going to have a lot of suites, like the All-Star, Music has the family suites that accommodate 6 people. And with today's families, a lot of the families are families of 5, families of 6. So it's really hard to accommodate yourself into any of the resorts. There's only a few select without having to get either a suite or a one-bedroom villa or even get two rooms that you have an adjoining door. So this is going to give, you know, this is going to open the horizon a little bit, you know, as far as fitting in there. They're going to have, you know, different, four different themes. They've got the Lion King, Cars, Finding Nemo, and the Little Mermaid.
Cars.
They're going to have... So I know, how fun. You know, so like, no, they're doing a Cars 2? And I'm like,
yeah.
You know?
Wow. Yeah, we got.
We love the Mater. He's just adorable.
Yeah, we got some of the concept art up on the site, but I also got my hands on some conceptual layouts of what the rooms would be like with two bathrooms. Now, I don't know if these are the final layouts or being a value resort and having, you know, the suites. It's a great alternative because, like, you know, we're a family of six, and you know,
that happened.
Yeah, I don't know, but.
It's going to give a lot of people the availability to have that, you know, where the all-star suites that are in, you know, the music, they book up fast, you know, because it's the only thing that's available. You know, they have a small kitchenette, same thing that will happen at the Art of Animation. You know, same thing. It's just, it's nice to be able to have that and be there. So.
Right. Without having to, you know, if you don't have the money or you just don't want to spend the money on a deluxe resort that has some more space, you know, if you have more than two children, you really didn't have much of an option.
But Angie, isn't there a special resort for our four-legged friends?
There is. But, okay, so I'm just going to say, who's going to... Okay, I don't know anyone who brings their dog on vacation, but yes. You know, Disney has their new best friend pet care resort that, you know, they opened up. You know, it's luxury. I mean, there's so many things in there that is just, you know, my dog sleeps on a pillow, but I'm good. But it's 50,000, you know, square feet complex, you know, that caters to dogs, cats, hamsters, guinea pigs, birds, and fish. Even fish. So
how do you bring your fish?
Four of you on the plane. I really want to know how it happens. you know, but they've got grooming services, doggy day camp, you know, bedtime stories. They've got tuna with rich crackers for your kitty. You know, they have bottled water for, you know, even flat screen TVs, you know, for the dogs. You know, so there's so many different things that are, you know, available for your pets.
If anyone out there who's listening to this brings their fish on a plane, can you please send me an email? Because I'd really like to talk to you.
Yeah, we could do a whole podcast about that.
Our fish is...
I mean, no beverage or no liquids on the plane yet.
But you need water for your fish.
Yeah.
Our fish are staying home. Oh, can we bring the pillow pets there?
Yeah.
That's all my daughter wanted for Christmas, is a pillow pet.
Yeah, we have... Santa came and brought two for us. For Chris
all
and kids, Gianna.
They all have each... They have one each. They're actually kind of... They're very soft.
Yeah. They are very soft. They're very cute.
I think they need to come out with Disney character pillow pets.
That's
that
what I was just going to say.
Oh, I'm sure it's coming around the corner. What do you think, Brent?
I think that it'll be out any minute now.
Yeah. They jumped on the silly band, so I could so see pillow pets.
Yes, I think that would be a fantastic idea. I'd buy all of them.
Exactly.
I want a Mater one.
You know, stuffed animals as it is, but...
but Mike needs a Tinkerbell pillow pet.
Oh. That is funny.
There goes, I'm going to the doghouse now.
At least you'll get a flat screen TV.
And some doggy treats and some petting care and
oh boy. But now, you know, something happened that kind of it bent me out of shape a little bit but now there's this new Golden Oak the residential resort and community that's going up in the Northeast area just east of the campgrounds, and I don't know, I just, when I see thing, you know, like pieces of land being used other than like a Disney park or some kind of Disney-esque, you know, type of thing,
Mike starts freaking out.
Yeah, I get a little nervous about that. So Although, you know, yes, I wish I did have, you know, several million dollars to buy a home, you know, just, you know, almost walking distance from Magic Kingdom. I still just kind of find that weird, you know, that...
No, I think that that was Disney's way. I mean, there's so many people that right outside of Disney that are doing, you know, vacation homes and stuff like that, that they're renting the condos out and such. And they're doing, you know, complete themes of Disney. So I really think it's a way for Disney to kind of keep up with what their competitors are, to be able to do that. And it's really, you should be really, you know, at least say they have Disney's, you know, approval, you know, and the Imagineers are helping them with everything. So it's not all a bad thing. It's okay, Dis.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a weird thing, you know. I guess if I, again, like if I had the money to actually buy one of those
That's
homes,
what it is,
maybe it wouldn't be. Maybe I would be all for it, but
it's that envy.
Yeah, but
he's just getting greener by the second.
Yeah,
over
I don't know. I just again, like I said, like with Celebration too, it was kind of like weird. And I know like Walt Disney's original plans for the property was to have, you know, residential areas and industrial areas, and the theme parks were just a small part of it. But, you know, my Disney World is something different. So I don't know. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, they have actually they put up more concept art on their website for the, you know, for some of the homes that they would be building. And I mean, it is beautiful. It does look like it's done in amazing taste and whatever. But
I'm scared those people are going to claim that they're the biggest Disney fan when I know that I am.
Yeah.
I thought you were buying a house, Brent. Yeah, talked about this. I was coming down for vacation.
you lend me $1 million, then we're there.
I want the one that's $8 million.
Now, have there been any room renovations? I know, like, little by little, they've been going through some of the resorts and...
You know, they're always renovating a lot of the hotels. A lot of the value resorts got their rooms renovated this year. Deluxe resorts, you know, a lot of them got, you know, they were in between getting renovations. There's so many of them that always get renovated. You know, like, you got Grand Floridian, you've got, you know... Beach Club that had just got done, Yacht Club that had just got done. You had Pop Century that just, you know, got renovated. You know, and most of, you know, some pools along with that at that time. You know, like I believe Beach Club's pool's getting ready there. I think they might be already closed, you know, and they're redoing that one. Right. You know, adding more things to it and, you know, just refreshing it a lot. You know, with so many people that come in and out of Disney, just they have to be refurbed and redone. You know, Coronado was one of them that he, you know, broke out this year with the rooms are just absolutely gorgeous. You know, they remind me a lot of the contemporary refurbed rooms that are out. They have, you know, the flat screen TV. They have now queen size beds because a lot of the Coronado Resort is actually a lot of convention people that will stay there. So they kind of beefed those up a little bit more, and they're a different little bit price because normally the monitors are all the same price per night, where Coronado is a little bit more now because of the queen size beds instead of the double extra long beds that they have in there, and they have the flat screens, but they're just, the taste is very, very contemporary taste. It's, they're beautiful. They are absolutely gorgeous.
Wow.
Yeah. Speaking of taste, Coronado has another one of my favorite, my top 100.
Are you talking about Maya Grill?
Yes, absolutely. Wonderful, fantastic restaurant. And I also have to say the Pepper Market is such a fun place, like for a counter service place. Such a fun place to eat.
Mike, everybody's going to think we're like 500 pounds.
Yeah, well, I'm getting there. I'm almost there. A few more trips and another cruise and I'm there. Oh, boy. Maybe that's what we need, the Disney weight loss plan.
What about, do you remember, it's probably back in June, they were talking about those new rooms that they're going to put in a hotel that were going to be themed around the Haunted Mansion.
Yes, whatever happened with that?
Yeah, I just read something the other day about it, saying that it could have just been some guy out there who's good with graphic design, and he came up with the whole concept and just put it up there as a fake story.
It was Michael and his fake rumors.
I don't have one.
But they, I mean, that was actually a very cool idea. They had that, and they talked about the royal suite too.
Yeah. Now, that's very it's believable because what they did with the pirate themed rooms.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm hoping that it was not a false, you know, thing, because that was cool, and it'd be one of those things that would give guests a brand new experience that they could only have, you know, at a certain section of a certain hotel. Because I know some people who, you know, they have their favorite hotels, but there's other people I talk to who say, you know, it's a hotel, it doesn't matter which one I go to, you know, the theme is a little different. But I think that really kind of makes it stand out more so, like, oh, I'm going to go stay at the Pirates of the Caribbean room or the Haunted Mansion room.
Right, if you want to
make it more unique.
Right, exactly. Now, you know, speaking of, on that line, I know the Disneyland Hotel over in California, they just introduced some new suites. Now, I know they're quite expensive, but they're absolutely beautiful.
You know, as much as they're calling it the Reimaginary in Progress, you know, and they should be opening, you know, everything will be done 2012, but it goes with a whole refurb of, you know, the resort. You know, they're doing it. It's a whole makeover. And a lot of things are completed. You know, that go through the shops have been done. They're doing, you know, on the pool. They're doing
right. The pool is getting a major yep, redo. They're doing that whole retro theme with the old fashioned Disneyland sign, and the slide is going to be, you kind of, part of the slide is enclosed, and it looks like the new monorail. Retro monorail that they have, and that looks like it's going to be, I mean, the pool was, I guess, I don't know if they closed it yet, I don't think they closed it yet, but it's a really nice pool as it is, but so this will be a whole
fun.
New,
yeah. They did a lot of fun things at the pool, too.
Yeah, so this, that's nice, but the suites, they had the Big Thunder suite, which I thought was, like, really nice because it had that very Western theme.
Railroady, right?
Yes, yeah. So that was, like, really right in my heart.
The Mickey Mouse penthouse. That was cool.
Yeah, and they have a Pirates of the Caribbean suite and then a Fairy Tale suite as well. And what I have here is that, like, they're doing that up on the 11th floor of the Disney, the Dreams Tower.
You know, the price for Disneyland versus Disney World, there's a big price difference, but you also have, it's just the location that you're at there. So I don't think it's going to hinder, or, you know, because people, like Disney fans like us, they're going to want that, you know, I want to stay in, you know, the Dream Tower. I want to stay in the Magic Tower.
Yeah.
I want to stay in that room, you know, are going to figure out, you know, how to go.
Yeah.
And it really is nice that you could, you know, walk out the front door or the back door, or, you know, whatever, of the Disneyland Hotel, or for that matter, Paradise Pier, or even the Grand Californian, and walk right through downtown Disney, right into, you know, either California Adventure or Disneyland. And I guess it's kind of similar to if you're staying at, like, Yacht and Beach Club or the Boardwalk, that you could, you know, walk right into Epcot from the back, or a little bit longer of a walk, but you could walk to Disney's Hollywood Studios. So,
or you go for a Surrey Ride bike ride.
Surrey Ride bike.
Yes, the Surrey.
Yes.
Almost run people over and do a Wednesday show. It was great.
Yes, I saw them chase the Disney security was right behind you guys, chasing you guys down.
It was not.
Mike, that was you. You at Disney
please
security.
Please let me play, guys. Please let me play. Get out of here, Diz.
Oh, boy. I want to throw, because I like the rumors and everything like that, and but something that's been bouncing around for a long time, and then it kind of came back to life, was that whole Buffalo Junction resort over on Bay Lake, and I guess kind of in between Fort Wilderness Campgrounds and the Wilderness Lodge, and taking over the space where River Country was, or kind of still is, you know, kind of fading away, but it's been closed for so long, and that's a sad thing in itself, that River Country is gone, because that really is the first water park, you know, in the world. So historically, there's some significance to, you know, that kind of was the birth of a new type of theme park. But somebody put out some site plans over on the internet, and they were posted all over different message boards showing a resort being overlaid onto that area. And, you know, that kind of gave a rebirth to that whole Buffalo Junction. Like, is this really going to happen? And is it really maybe another DVC resort? And then, of course, you know, that turns into all other kind of arguments and whatever. But it will be interesting to see if anything does come out of that, you know, another resort up in that area, and what will be. Will it really be like this whole Buffalo Junction, which I guess fits in with the campgrounds and the and Anna's sitting here with a really odd look on her face. I don't know why.
I'll have to get a Buffalo Chicken Buffalo Junction. Chicken. I must be getting hungry.
But, you know, we'll see what happens with that, and I'll rely on you, Brent. If you hear any construction vehicles rolling around there, you know, please let me know first.
I'll camp out over there for you.
Jump over the wall to get a picture of Fantasyland for me.
What's that?
I was trying to prop him up to jump over the wall to take a picture, and he wouldn't even do it for me.
Brent, no. We attempted. So.
I almost got kicked out of.
I know.
You know, Disney World for trying to pick the lock at the construction site, and
that was a,
it is.
That was the funniest thing. You usually do things like that to other people, so it was funny that somebody
finally got back at me. Anyway, I had said in we were talking before we started this, we'll go kind of boy girl, so I'm gonna put you up next, Brent, with the big screen, you know, any kind of stuff exciting that's happened in the theaters
last year for the movies. You know, there's been the big ones for the year that everyone really knows about. It's like Toy Story 3, obviously, was huge.
Huge.
And things like Tangled is hands down my second favorite Disney animated film ever.
Really?
And it's really tough for me to dethrone other things, but it has passed up things like Beauty and the Beast.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah, and you know what? I actually have a friend who is very critical about anything new that Disney does. I talked to him before Tangled came out, and he said, "Oh, it's gonna be stupid, blah blah blah." He hands down his favorite Disney movie. He's seen it 5 times in the theater already.
Oh my gosh!
Wow. Really?
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's got everything that the old Disney films always had. It's got a great story, the best cast ever in a Disney movie. Every single character in there is memorable. Yeah, things like Princess and the Frog. I really liked Princess and the Frog, but I felt like the characters didn't have enough personality. Well, in this, each character has so much personality. It's just, I mean, Disney really hit it out of the park with this one.
Personality like Buzz and Woody type?
More so, I mean, there's so much depth to each character where it's, you know, it's not just the character is just funny all the time, but it's, you know, he's got a huge range of emotions. Every character has this huge range of emotions. Rapunzel is the first Disney princess, in my opinion, to not just be, you know, I'm Miss Independent, I'm going to go out there and, you know, change the world. But she is a 16-year-old girl. I mean, she actually acts like a 16-year-old girl where it's, oh, yeah, I can do this, but if I defy my family or, like, if I defy my mother, what's she going to do to me? And there's, like, the one scene, it's so funny because she defies her for the first time. And she's like, oh, yes, you know, I did it. And then 2 seconds later, she's going, oh, I'm the worst daughter ever. And then all of a sudden, she's like, oh, but, you know, I'm so happy. Oh, my mother's going to kill me. And she's going, but it's like watching an actual 16-year-old girl go through the emotion. I mean, it's just the character development in it, hands down, I mean, best Disney movie in a long, long time.
Wow.
I mean,
Brent has a new love.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's going to take over Rosetta the Fairy, but...
Oh, no.
She might be pretty darn close.
Wow.
But, you know, yeah, Toy Story 3, which was, I mean, unbelievable. It was one of those things where a lot of people I talked to were very hesitant. You know, you've already done one sequel to Toy Story. Are you really going to try to mess things up by doing a third one and kind of, you know, what happens if it doesn't succeed?
If that doesn't make you cry, there's something wrong with you.
I saw that in the theater at the midnight showing of the opening day, and throughout the whole theater for the last like half hour, all you heard was. it was just hilarious. There was just sniffles everywhere. I was crying. Everyone was crying. I mean, that was just that. You know, Pixar and Disney, they close that storyline the perfect way, I think.
Yeah, it really is, you know, it really is amazing
Toy
how they
Story
put that together.
One, the first one is like one of my all-time favorite because it was just one laugh after another. Like, I think we had to watch it 2 to 3 times just to re-listen to it because we were laughing so hard the first time, you know?
We actually watched that this morning.
Toy Story? Yeah.
Toy Story 1, because Cody was like, first thing he got up this morning, 7 o'clock, I said, just watch a movie on mommy's bed. And now mommy's going to go back to sleep. Toy Story. So I'm like, here, we'll plug it in. Like,
yeah,
go.
Watch it. The kids just got the Toy Story 3 for, what did they get for the Wii?
Oh, for the
PlayStation
3, yeah.
And they've been loving it. They love it. So
we've got the one for the Wii. We've got the Toy Story Mania, and Mom loves that one. So
yeah, that's a favorite of ours.
Yeah, that was a big hit. In fact, we got that like the day that it came out.
We got the Wii just to get the game.
Yeah,
we made our kids. We made our kids buy the Wii. So that we could get the game.
You made them buy it. That's funny.
We made them buy it. Yeah. Oh, we know what you want to do with your gift cards that you got, right? Let's get the Wii, right? We want to get the Wii, so it worked.
Good parenting right here.
Oh, the best.
But, we actually gave two of the Toy Story Mania games out as Christmas gifts to other families this year. So it makes a great gift, too, because it's such a fun game. They actually have, I mean, we're kind of getting in off track here, but I'll just finish that part of that what I was going to say. They actually have if you don't have like a Wii or a game console, they have what looks like the gun or whatever it is that you use on the ride vehicle, and that plugs directly into the TV, and it's Toy Story Mania, right? And it comes with 3D glasses and everything.
I've heard it works really well.
Yeah, and it's very inexpensive, so you know, it's funny because a few times I picked it up in the store and I was going to get it. And I said, well, I have it on the Wii. Why do I want? But it's cool because it comes with the actual, you know, what do you call the thing that you shoot with? I don't know, the shooty thing. It's really not a gun, or I don't know what to call it. The shooty thing but only it doesn't have the pull string. It's got a button, but it's really cool. So that's something good, you know. If you don't have a game console or even if you want to get it as a gift for somebody who might not have a game console, or if you already have it and you just want another one.
Maybe like to grandma's house who doesn't have anything.
I think the technical term is the spring action shooter, but I have heard the Imagineers several times as the shooty thing.
The shooty thing. I like that better, the shooty thing.
The shooty thing.
Yeah.
Actually, kind of staying on that, along with the whole movie thing, just a few weeks ago, Epic Mickey came out.
Yes.
have you guys had a chance to play this?
I haven't played it.
The day it came out.
You know, I actually got a chance to play it. It is, it's one of those things that it's a great game for those people like me who loves the old Disney classic, the classic short cartoons and, you know, classic Disney history of the theme parks and stuff. You go through the ride and all the little secondary characters that are walking around are secondary characters that you would see walking in the background of old Mickey Mouse cartoons.
Oh, wow.
And it's all these forgotten characters, and it's, you know, you go through places like Toontown, except for the Toontown there is, you know, slightly different because it's like the forgotten Toontown. And it's really cool how they kind of used all of these forgotten pieces of Disney history to bring it together into a game that today a lot of people might not remember some of the stuff that's in there, but it's a really cool little, it's a cool game that kind of focuses on Disney's history.
Yeah, we actually have a review that will be posted soon. It's kind of a positive and negative review. I know there's been a lot of complaints from big gamers about the camera angles, there being issues with that. But otherwise, the game's supposed to be amazing. And to throw in another thing is I heard a rumor that early January there'll be an announcement that it will be ported over to the PlayStation 3. It's not official. That's just a rumor. But supposedly we'll hear that announcement. And when it actually comes out, I don't know. But anyway, back to the movies. See, we got off track. Uh-huh. Usually it's me that pulls us off track. I don't know who did it this time. But anyway, back to the movies.
Again.
Yeah, you did. You? It got Toy Story. Yeah, we got onto the topic of Toy Story Mania.
So it was me? I'm going to have to listen to that and find out who the culprit is.
There is a lot of good movies that came out this year from, like, the Alice in Wonderland, the live action. I wasn't a huge fan, but, you know, it's kind of gotten to the whole point that now Disney's going to start doing more of these live action remakes of their films. And they also did The Sorcerer's Apprentice this year, too, which is kind of a, you know, a little live action thing. But I'd say one of the biggest ones that came out this year was Tron Legacy.
Yes.
You know, bringing back a sequel for an old film, kind of starting to...
It's not that old. Stop it.
I'm sorry, ancient.
Thanks, pal. Yep.
And it's kind of starting this whole brand new thing of bringing back older films and kind of having these new franchises out of it, you know, doing that. And having they started doing a brand new franchise, I would say, this year with Prince of Persia.
Yeah.
Damn, you know, Legos. Having the whole tagline, Sands of Time, kind of gives you the whole idea of, you know what, there's going to be more movies than just the first one out there.
Right, and what you're saying about Tron, I mean, they'll have next summer, there's going to be an animated series coming out on Disney XD. I forget the actual name. It's Tron, not Evolution, but Generations or something like that. I forget what it was.
Yeah, it's something like that. I can't think of the name either.
And they also have in conjunction with Marvel, they have a comic book series for Tron. So, and of course all the merchandise and everything like that. So it's,
the games, the merchandise.
I liked the original Tron when it came out, and, I've always liked it because I just liked the whole idea behind it. And we rewatched it, on the eve before Tron Legacy was released.
That's right.
And kind of like a celebration, and watching it again, and it's been a couple of years since I watched it, but watching it again, I kind of seen like a bigger picture of how forward thinking they were, not only in the movie making, but the storyline of having this like huge network and how the different programs were pulled into the master control program. And it kind of got me thinking Microsoft, how they kind of took over a lot of things.
But, I almost understood the movie.
But, you know, thinking about how the internet is now and how everything is so interconnected, mm-hmm. which there was nothing near that back in, you know, 1982. And to see how forward thinking they were, again, in the storyline and, of course, in the movie making techniques, it's really amazing. So, you know, this has been a very long-awaited movie, and I hope it does good, you know, in the box office and everything, just for the fact that I want to see Disney build on it, because I really like it.
I, you know, and kind of going with the whole idea of, you know, things like Tron and the past of Disney, kind of bring it more to, they're doing more and more things to bring their past to the new generation of Disney fans out there, to kind of give them an idea of where Disney came from.
Right.
So they've been doing things like Tron and, you know, like the Tinkerbell films are huge. But the ones that I really think that were huge this year that not a lot of people know about was, you know, for years, there's always been huge Disney fans like ourselves who are really into, you know, where did Disney come from? What's Disney's history? Trying to find every little tidbit that you can about what makes Disney Disney. And what they did this year and the last year as well was they started releasing these films to the general public about it. And the big one this year was Waking Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, it was mainly at different film festivals around the country, but doing a whole movie, a documentary about how Disney went from rock bottom pretty much in 1984 to turning it all around in a 10-year time span to The Lion King in 1994 and showing the behind the scenes of the directors, the animators, Michael Eisner, Frank Wells, and everyone else who's kind of, you know, behind the scenes during that time period and how they turned around the company. That movie and the other two movies that came out last year, The Boys and Walt and El Grupo,
right,
are just great films for Disney nerds like us who really want to know where, you know, how things happened behind the scenes instead of just, you know, okay, here's the movie, go watch it, but you never really know what happened, what was going on at the studio at the time.
Right, and it's great that they just recently released all those on DVD.
So you didn't
have to go to the, you know, one of the film festivals to see it. And I think that's what a lot of the Disney geeks were hoping for. But then, like you say, like the average maybe Disney fan, but not the geek like us, might not be exposed to that and might not have known about it at all.
Yeah, and you know, I saw The Boys last year at the D23 Expo, and the two sons of Richard and Robert Sherman, who they were the directors and the masterminds behind The Boys. You know, afterwards they had a little Q&A session, and someone asked them, "Will this be on DVD sometime?" They said, "You know what? No one's ever going to be that interested enough to actually go out and buy this movie." And everyone in the place is like, "Oh no, you know, we would love to buy this movie." And I think at that point, Disney kind of caught on, like, you know what? People actually would buy these DVDs of all these documentaries about what happened with the company. And then next thing you know, Waking Sleeping Beauty is announced that it's going to be out there on all the movie festivals the following year. And I think the DVDs are actually selling pretty well for not just Disney nerds, but, you know, other people too who kind of see it and think, ah, you know, this could be interesting, and they'll actually pick it up as well. Unbelievable. The other big movie that just came out that I actually have not talked to anyone who actually knows about this movie, but it's called Archiving the Archives, 40 Years of Preserving the Magic. What it is back in the 1950s, Disney had this whole little thing called People and Places. It was showcasing a different type of person in the world. They would have things like the Eskimos, and they would have different things. Eskimos was one. They had one about, you know, things like South America. They actually had a Places one that was all about Disneyland. And it was these movies that were, you know, fairly popular in the 1950s. But then after the 1950s, they just kind of stopped. For the last year, Disney's been working on a new People and Places that they didn't tell anyone that they were working on, called Archiving the Archives. And it's all about the past 40 years of the archives. And it was actually released at Dave Smith's retirement party that only had about 20 people. So there's only about 20 people who were actually at the world premiere of Archiving the Archives. And since then, I think they've only had 3 showings of it. I have not been able to see it yet. They actually showed it at the last D23 event, which I was really upset that I didn't get to go to. But so my dad and my brother actually got to see it. But, you know, it's all about Dave Smith and how he kind of brought the archives and went to Walt's office and founded everything. And, you know, it just sounds interesting. It's a great way to kind of look back at Disney's history and bring back something that, you know, a little film label that most people probably have never even heard of or otherwise have completely forgotten about that ever existed. But for the future of Disney movies, we'll talk about real quick here. Next year, there's a few big ones. Cars 2, you guys mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Yay, can't wait.
Which I think that's going to be great. I love the preview when they talk about when the guy introduces himself to Mater and says he's secret intelligence, and Mater responds with like, "Mater, average intelligence."
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, Mater's Tall Tales we just received on DVD. That is hysterical. I love it.
Oh, those are great. How many are there? Is there about 15-ish?
Yeah, there's about a dozen. I'm not sure how many, but
they're very quick and they're very funny, and I don't know how the kids get it.
And there's a lot of it's so fast moving. There's a lot of little things like one of them when they do like Mater, like he's like drifting in I guess he's in Tokyo, and they go through, like they crash through a Chinese or a Japanese restaurant or whatever, and really quick, maybe for like three or four frames, you see a Mike and Sully car in the background. And I don't know how, I think it was either Michael or Nikki, one of our sons, spotted it. And I mean, I didn't see it. And so we went back, but they're literally there only for a few frames because it's such a fast moving show. And I'm thinking like, there must be so many little things in there that you have to watch it over and over, and you keep spotting these little things. But it is hilarious.
It's hilarious. It has a pattern to it, so you can kind of catch on what's going to happen. But
yeah, it's a lot
funny.
Of fun.
I laughed like the whole time. It's definitely, you have to get it. Yeah, you have to have it. It's a keeper.
those are. I mean, that was always one of my favorite things about the Disney Channel that they started doing about 2 years ago. Is throwing those tall tales in there.
Yeah, and that's what it is. It's a tall tale. Yeah.
and that's just great. I just love those. I've heard that Tokyo one is kind of a little preview of what's going to happen in Cars 2. So we'll see what happens there. A few other big ones that are coming out next year is Pirates of the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Jen cannot wait for that.
I'm excited about that. I'm kind of upset that, there's not going to be any Will Turner or Elizabeth, but I think that should be good. But the other big one that I was very hesitant about the first time I heard about it was Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
And the Winnie the Pooh story is they actually have one of the main animators from the original Winnie the Poohs from back in the 60s and 70s. And he's the main supervising animator for the whole thing, making sure everyone keeps the same look and feel.
Right, to keep true to the style.
The original one. So I don't know. I think it's going to be a good movie year is coming up next year for Disney as well again.
Yeah, I want to just throw in there because, me with the rumors and stuff. Disney had asked a lot of the main characters of Pirates to save a block of time after Pirates 4 is released. And that they're gonna see how well a fourth installment of this movie is, and if it goes over well, that they will film a fifth and sixth movie back to back, and then release them, year after year, for the 2 years after that. I'm hoping it's true because all three so far I've absolutely loved. It's a fun series. A lot of action. I think it's got a little something for everybody. It's always got like a bit of the love story for the women. It's got the crazy things exploding for the men.
Oh, come on, it's got Johnny Depp.
Yeah, it's got Johnny Depp.
Oh, no. Love story.
In fact, I'm looking at Johnny Depp right now. I have a Pirates of the Caribbean pinball machine in my basement down here, and he's staring at me right now.
He's front and center with his sword.
Savvy.
Diz, I've heard the same rumor, actually. So hopefully, we'll see what happens with that.
It's true.
Yeah. So anyways.
The other two movies that are kind of rumored to come out this year that are sequels are Enchanted 2.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Which I highly doubt will come out. If it comes out, I don't think it will come out this year. I mean, I've heard rumors that they're working on it, but I haven't heard anything too solid that makes it sound like for sure it's coming out. But I do know that they should be having National Treasure 3 might be coming out next Christmas.
That's fun.
Which I really hope so, because that was a great, the first two movies I just loved.
Yeah, it's been a while.
When those on Christmas.
When did the second one come out? Because that was,
I think it was 2007.
Yeah, because I know it's a few years, so.
And then the other big movie that I'm extremely excited for is the cheapest Muppet movie ever made.
The cheapest Muppet.
I'm a huge Muppets fan. I love the Muppets. They haven't done a main, a motion picture Muppets film since I think it was 2001. Muppets from Space came out.
Yeah.
And so the cheapest Muppets movie ever made. I think that's going to be just a classic. I mean, the Muppet movies are just always amazing. So
yeah,
I
hope
so. I want to see more Muppets, and you know, I was hoping that we would start seeing things right away when they finally did. I guess buy what was left of Jim Henson's company, but
I know you're hoping for a dark ride.
Yes, of course. I'm hoping they dust off those old plans for the
Muppets themed area.
Yeah. I mean, that would just. I mean, they could make a whole theme park based on the Muppets, but having a nice land in Hollywood studios
and
would be
all day in the background.
Ba-ba-da-da-da. Ba-da-ba-da. all of these movies, though, the only problem that I have is it's a lot of sequels coming out. You know, they don't have a lot of original movies coming out in the next year.
Yeah, there is that Mars Needs Moms, which looks like it'll be a fun movie.
Lightspeed.
I've heard very little about Lightspeed. You know, it could become another thing like Pirates of the Caribbean, where it's a space movie, but it's kind of like Pirates of the Caribbean or National Treasure, where it's kind of got the same feel to it. It's Jerry Bruckheimer is doing it, so we'll see what happens with that. Three Men and a Baby.
I was just gonna say something about that. That's
Three Men and a Bride. That's actually been rumored for years, whether or not they're ever gonna do another one. I have no idea if it actually is gonna come out, but
yeah, they don't have much time left. I mean, all these guys are getting old, so
they're all getting old.
You know, it could be a good, fun, cute movie and, a little bit nostalgic or whatever, or it could just be a total disaster. You know, I don't think there's going to be any in between if they actually do make that movie. But then there was also the thing about the Wizard of Oz prequel.
Yeah, I don't like when people really try to mess with the class. So I think it's kind of weird that, they try to do a prequel to Wizard of Oz. You know, it could be good. It could be bad. Another big one that I've heard of is that Matched, which is going to be supposedly the next big book for young adults. And Disney's really hoping that it can be something as big as things like, Harry Potter or Twilight with the teen audience. So we'll see what happens with that. If, Disney, I think they have already bought it.
Yeah, I think they bought the rights, the movie rights to the book.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. If, it becomes big. If the book becomes big enough, then the movie should become big enough too. But we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, I'll tell you one of the things that I got excited about, because it's one of my all-time favorite animated films, probably or any film, was Mulan. And they're doing a live-action Mulan. And I think, again, if done right, it could be a very exciting movie. You know, a lot of action.
That was a very action-packed movie.
Yeah, because Mulan totally blew me away when I first saw that movie, and so I'm hoping it's good, because this is something that I'm definitely looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, I think that could be a pretty good thing, especially with 3D. I think there's some movies that the 3D really enhances it, and I think a story like Mulan would actually be a huge movie in 3D. That'd just be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
The other thing is I'm actually kind of surprised is Disney is not doing a whole lot with their Marvel this coming up year. I mean, they're doing some things, but
nothing
huge. I mean, there's going to be the Adventures show, the animated series.
Right,
but,
on Disney XD.
Because, that's one of those things where as soon as they bought Marvel last year, I knew it was going to take them some time to slowly kind of, start doing stuff with it. You know, you don't see them in the theme parks that much. There's like the comic
store there. Had a big Marvel section.
Oh yeah, in the new stores, the Times Square store, right, actually had a Marvel neighborhood in it. But as far as like movies or anything else, and then there's also these rumors flying around that Disney wants to buy back the rights from the theme parks who are using the Marvel characters, and I find that kind of odd, because why, if somebody's paying you for the rights to use that character. Why buy it back right now? It's a little bit of advertisement, and they're not going to go, you know, make some crazy Spider-Man roller coaster or, you know, or anything right now. So I don't know how much weight there is behind that rumor. I guess eventually we'll start seeing stuff. I know for the new Iron Man movie, they bought the rights back for that to distribute that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I guess slowly we'll see things come in. But you think you would see some characters somewhere in the park. And of course, I think a lot of people would agree with me by saying we would prefer to see them, like, maybe in Hollywood Studios. And you don't want to see, like, Spider-Man or somebody,
absolutely,
you know, going down Main Street.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, that'd just be too weird.
Yeah.
I've got a feeling that, you know, in the future, Disney will use the Marvel characters more so in the parks. But, you know, I can kind of see there's always that rumor of, you know, a fifth theme park, and they could do like a Marvel-type themed park. I don't know if they would or not. I don't know if I'd be thrilled if they did or not, unless they did it the right way. But I would still love to see a Pixar-themed park.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. That would be exciting.
You know, I mean, I've actually got my whole blueprints of what I would, if I was a I've got ride ideas for every movie, and I got to become an Imagineer, though.
Yeah, I mean,
next Imagineer.
Right, because if you think of it, each movie, you could have a whole land. I mean, well, look, in California Adventure, they're building the whole Cars land, which, you know, you're right. I mean, they could do, like, a whole land. So, you know, you could imagine what a Bugs Life land would be like.
Well, in California, they have the...
Right, they have the small mini, the mini land there. So, I mean, yeah, it's definitely a doable thing. I mean, it's... And they just, you know, another thing that I didn't mention before was in Disneyland Paris, they did open the little mini Toy Story land. And they have, they have three, I guess they're smaller rides in there, like no big major e-ticket attraction or anything like that. But the photos of it that I've seen are beautiful, the theming and everything. And then how they decorated for the holidays also was kind of cute. And it looks
so
like
if anybody is listening from the Imagineers, let's get going.
Yes,
Pixar Land, we want one.
Or maybe that'll be the next major expansion to Disney Hollywood Studios. Although they're kind of landlocked, but
yeah, they've got a whole land called Pixar Place with one ride. So
yeah. Well, there's still that rumor of the Monsters roller coaster ride. You know, I mean, that's been going on forever. And then every now and then you hear the rumor like, oh, yeah, it just got a green light. They're going to make the announcement. But I think we hear that rumor every year. And, you know, I think with Rock and Roller Coaster, I don't think they would have another major indoor roller coaster.
Why
you know.
Not?
I'm not saying
why
I wouldn't
not?
Want to see it. I'd love to see it. But I don't see Disney actually doing that, you know, before building some other kind of dark ride or something else.
Yeah, like Peter Pan or Snow White.
Right, Haunted Mansion.
Haunted Mansion.
Well, that used to be...
I will tell you what, you know, as a mother, you call those rides when you have a small child. Just that's the nursing ride.
The nursing ride?
Yes, yes. Carousel of Progress, very good for them.
Next time on the Disfanatic podcast, we're to nurse your
child. Top 10 places to nurse your child.
And it is legal in Florida to nurse in public.
It's just, not like I was open or anything. It was nice because I would ride by myself with Cody, and you know, no one even knew. So.
Isn't it better to do that than to have a crying baby?
Yes,
seriously.
I could have sat on a bench and just, you know. When you walked right by Brent, you could have, you know, so.
You wouldn't have even noticed, Brent. Trust
just
us.
Just saying. And the kid care. You know, the baby centers at all the different parks are wonderful, too. Stop in. They've got lots of things for your babies.
That's
yeah,
right.
They are nice.
Yes, they're beautiful. I took Michael in to see it, right,
yeah.
This past time?
Yeah, the last time we went.
It was amazing, you know?
Yeah.
Nice and clean and quiet, and everything you needed was right there.
It was baby food, you know, formula, whatever you need, they got it. It's
diapers,
good.
Bottles.
Yep.
So, anyway, moving on.
We are so past that stage, aren't we now? But
we are.
Yeah, that's what we said.
I'm
so much more excited now. I can't wait to settle down and have a kid.
And watch that kid's face when you bring them into Disney for the first time.
Or see my wife's expression when she gets so excited because she finds a great nursing spot.
Yeah.
These things are very important. They matter.
Just wait.
Just wait. Your priorities change when you have kids. Or that they have...
The first time it'll be in there will be like, 3 days old when they're out of the hospital.
I'm planning it the right way. My kid's going to be born at the Magic Kingdom.
Isn't there that? I heard there's a rumor going that there's a new ride. It's a great birthing ride.
And Mickey Mouse is going to be the godfather, right?
and the doctor.
And the doctor.
Gosh! Time to cut the umbilical cord!
Oh, man.
Gosh! It sure is messy in here.
Run, Dodge!
Oh, boy.
Okay. I think this is the end of the Disfanatic podcast as we know it.
We're going to get censored. And okay. Well, moving on. Disneyana, you're up with topics other than breastfeeding.
Hey, that's one topic I know a lot about, okay? How do I begin after that?
Well, why don't we start off with the Disney stores, because we've had a lot of fun.
I have to start with our road trips to the new Disney stores, one being in the Roosevelt Field Mall in Long Island.
Long Island.
It was like a 90-minute drive from here, but it was fun. It was worth it. Because we got to see the new concept stores and how they're interactive. They have pretty little castles in there that you wave a wand and you see a princess and Tinkerbell flies around. They have that pretty tree.
Yeah, right. We did a whole podcast. Actually, I think we ended up doing two because we talked about the Times Square one as well.
Right. So but, we got the Roosevelt Square Mall. The store there was like a mini Times Square mall because that, it's huge and a lot of fun to be in. They had different, neighborhoods.
Right, they called them neighborhoods, different areas. It has a nice flow to it. I mean, it's definitely a big plus over how the stores have been the past few years. I still miss the original Disney stores.
Yeah, they were pretty. They were colorful.
Yeah, very nice. Very alive. Right, because it was... kind of a little bit dark inside and like characters. I said, colorful. They had the characters around the top of the store. And also the product I used to like, is that that's where I got a lot of my Mickey ties and had
watches.
The animation art and whatever. But it's nothing like, of course, the old Disney stores, but much better than the Disney stores that are being phased out now. And, a lot of interactive areas. They have the Disney Store Theater,
right.
Which is kind of like a giant garden gazebo setting with a large screen that they show Disney clips, a lot of Hannah Montana for Brent Dodge. And,
yeah, a lot of videos. You could dance with Hannah Montana.
Right. That's
like the dream right there.
Yes. Yeah. You gotta check out the new... I don't think there's any down in Florida yet, is there?
No, there isn't.
Yeah, because I think they only rolled out about a dozen or so
of
them this
year. And we have
three.
We have the Times Square, we have the Long Island, and the Freehold Mall, which in a couple of weeks we'll be going down there quite often.
Right, yeah.
Into that area.
So, yeah, so basically, one of the nice things is they incorporated the Ride Makers station in each of the stores,
yes.
Which is really nice. And, I mean, at least from our visits to the stores, they seem to be doing well because there were people, building and buying
and
the Ride Makers.
And then you could go home. You take a certain tool, you buy a certain tool.
Right, you could take them apart and add features onto
them
or whatever.
Right, you could take them apart at home.
Right, so it's a scale down. I'm sure, Brent, you've been in the big Ride Makers down in downtown Disney, right? You've seen.
Yeah, I have. I've made my car there.
Yeah, so it's a mini version, but they only have Pixar cars themed cars there. So you can't get all the other types of stuff. They have like four or five different types of Maters. You know, they have the original Mater, and then they have some of the Maters from the Maters Tall Tales and stuff. So that's really cool. They have El Matador, Matador. They had the screen. I was talking about the Disney Store Theater. They have touch screens where you could go up and select songs or clips from Disney movies and stuff that'll show. And they have a high screen that's up for adults, and then they have a lower screen for small children.
Right.
So it's really nice. And basically how they described it is how their marketing is the best half hour of a child's day. And, I think they hit it with that. There's a lot of interactive fun things to do. And you got to remember that it is a store. So, you know, they are there to sell product, but at least it's not, you just walk in, pick up your product to go to the cash register, and that's it. You could spend some time in there and have fun at the same time. They also have a storytelling time. Right,
yes.
Where they'll, one of the cast members will sit down with a book and read one of the Disney classics, and they have pictures on the big screen behind him that go along with the story that he's reading, and everything. You could see the Apple technology built in there because
I saw that in Long Island. I didn't see it at the Times Square store. Did they have that?
Oh, they had an iPad mounted to one of the columns that you could actually look for products that aren't available in the store, and you could order them right there in the store, or a product that they're out of in the store. You could order it for having it shipped. And as well as the cast members are carrying around like iPhones or iPod touches or something, and they could control a lot of the interactive features within the store. So it's really cool. And of course the New York Times Square, I'm stealing what you were talking about, but that was two stories, and they had on the first floor all, a lot of New York themed, product. And, of course
the Disney Couture along with, that's something that about products that's being developed, the Disney Couture with the Dooney and Bourke handbags, and just things that you would only find in that section. You're not going to find them in a different Disney store. Remember, because they had
right. It was nice, the price. And then you go upstairs, and of course they have the new theme Disney store, but only much larger. Like the castle that they have in there is about 20 feet tall instead of maybe 8 feet tall that an adult could actually walk through. And like I said, when we first discussed it, I had to kind of crawl through the children's entrance. I didn't realize you could walk through in the back, the Times Square store.
And
adults could walk right in.
And the Times Square store is, you could get the New York themed Vinylmations.
That's
which
right.
You can only get there. I guess you maybe online too, but you can only get in that store. Other stores aren't going to carry like the Vinylmations with the Statue of Liberty, the crown and the torch, which not only now we have the Vinylmations, but as we spoke about this in the spring about the silly bands, that Disney followed
Disney jumped
that.
Right into that.
And you have the Mickey Mouse and Friends, the princess bands, the fairies, the Toy Story and the Cars bands. So that you always see the kids with their...
Or Brent Dodge. Brent, do you still have your Belle silly bands?
He's got Rosetta.
I've got Belle and I've got Goofy.
Goofy.
Belle and Goofy.
I remembered Belle.
And also, we have the Vinylmations to collect. We have the silly bands to collect. And what do we wear? But Crocs. The kids can wear Crocs on their feet with the Toy Story Toy Story characters on them.
Right. So now they have more than just they had just the ones with the Mickey heads, the Mickey icons, and
right now you have Buzz and Woody icons for their Crocs. Oh, Target has a new tween clothing line that would it's based on Demi Lovato's Sunny with a Chance character. It's called Designed, for, I guess, all the tweens out there. And I guess for the big girls, the MAC makeup line has the Venomous Villains collections with a lot of strange colors, I guess, to just what you want to wake up to, right? Looking like one of the villains. We spoke about Tron before, and not only do they have the new the new movie, the new games.
Right, a lot of product tied
in. A lot of product. Products that you could get for your...
For the computer, right?
For the computer.
Game controllers, and I was looking at it, I was in GameStop holding one. I said, I can't do this.
Can't do that.
But they they have a keyboard and a mouse for your Mac or PC. A ton of stuff. It's just really nice looking
and
stuff.
And a couture collection.
Yes.
With handbags and shoes.
And the jewelry.
And the jewelry. Yeah. So,
she's trying to hint something to you, Des.
Yeah.
I can just picture wearing these high-heeled spiky shoes.
They're like 8-inch heels or something.
Yeah, I think they're like 12 now.
The jewelry is nice. We're looking at some pictures of it right now.
It looks like wear it at the Contemporary Hotel.
Yeah. And the handbags.
Accessories. Is nice, yeah. And then, let's see. And not only, we have the couture, but we also have... Disney's new line of books are becoming a huge hit with families, with their children, which their book series is aimed at 5 to 12-year-olds. They're designed to help children learn and to read with the help of Disney's popular cartoon characters. And the topics range from dinosaurs to planet Earth to space and satellites, whereas reading could become fun for the kids, and after they've been working hard reading, you could give them freeze-dried fruit snacks.
Right, a nice healthy snack.
A nice healthy, tasty fun snacks that feature Mickey Mouse Clubhouse characters, Cars characters, princesses, and even the new Toy Story 3 characters. So it's fruit crisps that are freeze-dried.
Right, so they said they were all natural and everything. I know you can get them online. I don't know if they're going to be selling them in the parks or not, but I've been looking in stores. I haven't seen them. I did see them online.
Ocean Spray will be building a cranberry bog display at Disney attractions,
Probably in Epcot, yeah.
That would be the best place for it. And they're also going to be selling craisins in packages where there's... They'll bear the characters of Chip and Dale. That's cute.
So they'll be cross-marketing, I guess, and they'll have it in the parks and Disney Cruise Line.
Disney Cruise Line, yep. Oh, this I have to say, we're going back to the Vinylmation, because Anthrax brings up a lot of teenage memories. The Anthrax drummer, Charlie Benante, he created some new figures for Vinylmation. We saw one called Kisses, which was very cute. So it's funny, the Anthrax drummer headbanging his way.
Yeah, and designing.
Creating something, for Disney called Kisses. So
that's something cute. Actually, this thing here was...
This is just new.
Yeah, brand new.
Brand new. Pixar postal stamps. What do you think of that?
That is awesome.
Oh, I saw those yesterday. Those are good.
Did you see them? You could get 5 different stamps showcasing Up's Carl Fredrickson and Doug, Toy Story's Buzz Lightyear and the Green Aliens, Wally's title hero, so you could get Wally stamps, Remy and Linguini from Ratatouille, and Lightning McQueen and Mater from Cars! Woo!
Now, those aren't out yet.
It will be coming out August 19th, 2011.
Yeah, so I bet you those will go fast, because I know the other Disney stamps went really quick, and a lot of the post offices ran out of them very fast, so they were kind of hard to get. And do you guys collect stamps or anything like that? Or
I get the Disney stamps, but that's about it.
I collect them and put them on the stamp and put them on the envelopes.
I did think of one more thing that happened this year.
Okay.
I got to say it. March 1st, 2010, From Screen to Theme came out.
Yes.
Yep.
That was number one.
That was big.
That was
Yes. I think
it was a good accomplishment. Great job, Brian.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Anyway, guys, it's been great having you here, and I look forward to having another, fun year and work on some more projects together. And anyway, with all that said, thanks for getting together with me today. And, again, look forward to seeing you guys soon. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. Thanks, Brent.
And thanks for having us on.
Yeah, thank you. We'll be right back.
Well, that's all for this time. Thanks for joining us. We had a great time talking about what's happened and a great look ahead at what's coming up in 2011. And on behalf of everybody at DizFanatic.com, I want to wish everybody a healthy, happy, and prosperous 2011. And, of course, I want to thank our sponsors, WDWTravels.com. And we appreciate all your feedback and the great emails and everything that you send over to us. And feel free to email us anytime with suggestions, comments, or just to say hello. And you could email me directly at Mike@DizFanatic.com. You could find us on Facebook. You could follow us on Twitter. Just search for DizFanatic. And, of course, you could find us on Skype. Just send us a request and feel free to call us anytime on Skype. Again, just look for DizFanatic. And feel free to leave us a voicemail as well. So we'll see you next time. I was just getting some funny noises.
I'm just curious if the Disney store sells milk or not.
I guess for the right price.